All right. Speaking of the World Cup, U.S. grouped in Group B with England, Iran. They've got one more playoff to find out who the third team will be in their group. Their third game in the group will be against Iran. Goes back to 1998, where the U.S. Played in the World Cup with Iran. There is a bit of a geopolitical nature to this. I don't think that will affect the coaches and the players. So who better to bring on? Former Houston Dynamo assistant, also was an assistant with the Iranian national team at the time Carlos Kirosh was here. He is Omid Namazi. He joins us now. Omid, thank you for coming on the show tonight.
It's my pleasure, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always good. Omid, by the way, has an extensive coaching background here in the United States, as we all know. But, you know, with Iran getting grouped with the United States, I thought, who better to talk to than you, Omid? And I guess the first thing I would say is, just what was the reaction in Iran to getting grouped with the United States, England, and then a future opponent to be determined?
Yeah, the general reaction there in Iran is a positive reaction. They feel like they were placed in a, not an easy group, but a group that they have a chance as far as advancing to the second round. This is a good generation of players from Iran. They qualified pretty, I don't want to say easily, but they qualified with two games in hand. So they've done a good job. And this group of players, a bunch of them play in Europe. So it's a good generation, and they feel like this is their moment. You know, they've never advanced past the first round, and they feel like this is their moment to do that.
He's Omid Namazi, former assistant coach to Carlos Kirosh. So before I get back into those days, the current coach for Iran is Dragan Stošić. He's 53 years old. He's a Croatian. But take us into the roster a little deeper. I think some of us might know some players like Mehdi Taremi, but it is a roster that has players that are playing all throughout Europe, clubs like Feyenoord, Porto, etc. So maybe you give us a little bit of an oversight on the roster and the balance of domestic and players maybe playing in Europe.
Yeah, so they're attacking players, Mehdi Taremi, as you mentioned, Sardar Azmoun, who's another player who plays as a striker, as number nine, Ali Reza Jahanbakhsh, who plays at Feyenoord. Then you have Oli Zadeh, who plays in Belgium in the Premier League there. And then they have a bunch of players that are playing in the Persian or, the Gulf countries. And, overall, they have, I would say, about 60 to 70% of their players playing abroad, which is a first for Iranian players. They've gotten the opportunity to go and play abroad, and they've done really well. So Stošić, the coach, as you mentioned, has done a good job of putting a good system together that fits these players, and they've gotten good results. So they're going to be a formidable opponent for anybody. And I mean that not because of my background, but because I feel like with the attacking players that they have, they can hurt anybody. Their weak point is probably in their back line.
Omid Namazi joining us. Omid, tag on to what you just said about the amount of players that are playing in Europe. When did that trend begin to change a little for the Iranian player, and how and why did it change?
Yeah, I would say about 6 or 7 years ago, when Carlos was still the coach there, he would really emphasize to the players the importance of them going abroad and, trying to, continue their career in Europe if they can, first and foremost, because he felt like the players playing in the domestic league in Iran, they weren't prepared for international competition. So he wanted the players more and more to go to Europe, try their luck there. And a lot of them did. Iranian players are very technical. They have good technical skills. Where they lack is, some of the professionalism, maybe, the speed of the game. And that's why Carlos wanted them to go and play in Europe and train every day in that kind of environment, which will further their career, obviously, but also help the national team. And that's when it started. And now it's a trend. Everybody who's half decent. Once you get a chance to go to Europe, and now the agents also in Iran are doing a good job of, you know, finding players, teams in Europe, and getting them over there.
Omid Namazi joining us, of course, was in MLS with the Houston Dynamo. Todd Ramos, also his assistant at the under 20 level here in the United States. And I could go on and on about Omid, former professional soccer player as well. And, you know, I appreciate you. You know, I can hear other people in the lobby, and that's the background noise, because you're at a very important event, the GA event up in Dallas. And I appreciate you taking the time to join us here. All right. So let me just continue on with what you just said about Carlos Quiroz, because he was in Iran, if I'm correct, and you may correct me because you were his assistant for a large time, 8 years. So that allows him then to get that messaging out that, hey, guys, you know, it's time to start trying to tackle Europe. It's time to get opportunity in Europe. And it seems very similar to me as to when Jurgen Klinsmann was pushing that messaging.
Exactly the same thing. I remember when Jurgen was adamant about players, you know, not just being comfortable playing in the MLS and going and challenging themselves and trying to play in Europe, playing in that environment. Because at the end of the day, if you're playing in Europe top leagues and you're playing Champions League or UEFA Cup, you're playing, you know, these are like international games, and they're tough games where you really challenge yourself as a player, but also you become a better player because of those challenges. And Carlos did that. And, you know, and throughout the 8 years that he was there, if I was to say that, you know, one legacy that he left in Iran is that one, he taught the players how to be better professionals. And then he really encouraged them into challenging themselves and going overseas and giving it a try in Europe.
Omid Namazi joining us here. And Iran, champions of Asia, just to remind our listeners, their third match in Group B will be against the United States. So Iran qualified, Korea Republic, and then it was UAE, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon in their qualifying process. Did mention their style of play, did mention something about the attacking quality that they have, but just kind of take us into the purpose of play a little bit and how they play and maybe set up so that, you know, U.S. fans and those listening to this show can get a little sense of the way.
Yeah, I mean, if I was to go about naming like their best 11 to play out there, he usually sets them up in a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-4-1-1. With Taremi, who's playing at Porto, who's playing really well at Porto. He's one of the top goal scorers in Portugal, just behind Osmoun. Osmoun was still a young player who played in Russia for many years. Now he just transferred to Bayer Leverkusen in the Bundesliga, and he plays the nine. And he's a player that can score again against any opponent because he's got the pace, he's got the technical ability, and he's always in the right spot to score goals. And then you got two wingers who are very quick with a lot of pace and a lot of ability to take people on one-on-one. In Alireza Jahanbakhsh, who's playing in Feyenoord, and Voli Zadeh, who's playing, I believe, in Charleroi in Belgium. So formidable attacking options. Down the middle of the field, they have Nur Olayi, who plays in UAE. One of the best two-way midfielders that Iran has. But again, I feel like, you know, if you were to pick one weak point is the middle of their back line. They haven't found a good pairing, and they're still struggling with that. But, you know, I think there are players that could fill that hole for them. It's just a matter of them, you know, a couple of them have been injured, long-term injuries. They're just coming back, like a guy by the name of Pur Ali Ganji. He's coming back from an injury. So once they get healthy, I think, you know, they're going to be tough. They're going to be a tough opponent for anybody.
Greg Berhalter came out. Omid said he was nervous about the public and the media taking maybe a stance of Iran lightly in this group, obviously, because the group is dwarfed by England. Maybe you could comment on that, because this is obviously, after listening to you and seeing some other things that are out there, that this is a team not to be taken lightly.
Yeah, none at all. And I would say the sentiment goes both ways. Neither team can take the other team lightly. I think there's a feeling in Iran that maybe the U.S. is not such a strong opponent. But obviously, we know with the generation of players that are playing now on the U.S. senior national team, they're a formidable opponent against anybody. So, neither the U.S. can take Iran lightly, nor vice versa. And I feel that's going to be the decide. It's a third game for each one of the teams, and that's going to be the deciding factor as who advances through the group.
Yeah, that's a great point. Omid Namazi joining us. Omid, take me into some of your time as an assistant to Carlos Quiroz with the Iranian national team, and kind of your duties, the relationship you had with Carlos, and what the experience was like, because not everybody gets to work with a manager of that stature.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it was a great learning experience for me as a coach, again, in my development as a coach. So it was 2010 that I had was invited to go and work at a club in Iran. And at the conclusion of that season, Carlos was hired as the national team coach. And I had played for Carlos here for the New York Metro Stars in the first year of the MLS. So I had that relationship, and I knew him, and I knew Dan Gaspar, who was his goalkeeper coach, who went everywhere Carlos went, Dan went with him as well. So when they arrived in Iran, Dan knew that I was in Iran. And so he got in touch, and we talked a little bit, and Dan asked me, you know, what my plans were. And I told him that, once the season was over, the club season, I wanted to return to the U.S. and continue my coaching here. So he said, you know, why don't you come in and talk to Carlos? He's looking for an assistant who can speak the language, who can relate to the players a little bit. So I did that. Went in, sat down with Carlos. I remember we sat down for a good 4 or 5 hours talking about all aspects of the game, how I can, you know, be of help to him. And, you know, it was an easy decision for me to stay, although, you know, it would part me with my family a little bit, for long periods of time. But I felt like it was an important job and one that I couldn't pass up. So I agreed and I stayed. And throughout the qualification for the 2014 World Cup, we had a great thing going. We sort of had an aging roster, and we had to figure out how to sort of make it younger and not lose out on being able to qualify. So I remember we had to, during the qualification process, we had to win our last 3 games to qualify for the World Cup. That was the only way, because we actually had a slip up and lost to Lebanon in Lebanon. So then it put us in a situation where we had to win all of our last 3 games. The first one was in Qatar, second one back home against Lebanon, and then the third one in Korea, in South Korea, which is a tough place to go and try to get a win. So we won the first 2 games, and then we flew out to Ulsan in Korea, and that's where the game was. And in front of 70,000, I have to be honest, we parked the bus and try to use a counter to our advantage and see if we can come out with a win. And it worked to perfection. Carlos was a great strategist, and he got his tactics perfectly spot on, and we defended with all our might. And then on one counter attack, we were able to actually take advantage of a mistake by one of the Korean defenders and scored. The Reza Guchan-Nejad, who was our top goal scorer at the time, was able to take advantage of that situation, scored a goal, and that got us qualified to the 2014 World Cup. So it was, I can go on and on, but I know we're limited for time, but it was a great experience, you know, working with Carlos, seeing how he runs his sessions, how detailed he was. And that was one of the things I really learned. And he told me one thing, and it was when he was at Man U, him and Ferguson, they talked about this all the time, that a player, when he comes through the doors at Man U, he only needs to worry about his performance on the field. He doesn't need to worry about his car or, you know, his housing or his well-being of his family, anything. He just needs to worry about one thing, and that's his performance on the field. And he tried to create that environment in Iran. And that's not an easy thing to do in Iran because it's chaos. And he really had to, the whole staff, we basically did what the people at the Federation needed to do. Like, we arranged the trips, we arranged the friendlies, the staff did. The Federation had nothing to do with it because they just didn't have the experience and the standard that Carlos demanded. So it was a lot of work, a lot of grind, but I wouldn't change it for anything. You know, the experience I gained working with Carlos in those 4 years.
So that's interesting, because I'm sure you guys had to do a lot of negotiation with officials to try and get all these additional things that would take pressure off your players. Has that remained since Carlos has left there in Iran?
Yeah, but I think they also, again, with what Carlos did, he taught him some new things, you know. For example, you know, I remember the Federation would book players on commercial flights to travel. Carlos was like, this is a no-no. The players, they need to be able to be comfortable on the flights, first class tickets for all players. You know, staff, he didn't have to worry about it. You know, we could sit in commercial, no problem, but the players needed to be comfortable, especially on the way back from games. So that has become a standard now, you know, in the Federation. So, you know, think little things like that, where it's standard everywhere else, but it wasn't so in Iran. And I think they've learned a lot of good lessons from Carlos being there.
Well, listen, Omid, we'll let you get back to work. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us. And we appreciate you coming on, giving us all that great insight, and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, Glenn. Looking forward to the World Cup and those games, but they're going to be interesting. But thank you for having me.